Moses was taught to call it Whit Sunday, Whitsun Day, the time, as we've just been hearing from the two scriptures, the time of the pouring out of God himself, part of that Trinity, the third revelation of the Trinity that we have. Let me suggest what I'm saying here. This feast can be seen or interpreted as God completing the revelation of himself to his people, such as we are here this morning. There are three major events in this divine revelation. 6 months ago, we celebrated the first of those revelations, God coming into the world to be seen, to be observed, watched carefully. It was what we call his advent, his coming, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Then just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Good Friday and Easter Day, when that same Emmanuel hung on the cross, paying the price for my sin and yours, and redeeming us to the Father by his sacrifice, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God with us, now God for us, in my place. He was hanging on the cross, taking the place of the one who deserved it. Clem Roberts should have been there, but he did it for me. He then rose from the dead and demonstrated for 40 days that he was indeed alive, that he had conquered death. He met individuals, he met groups, he even ate with them. And he promised he would send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And having returned to God the Father, 10 days later, that promise was fulfilled. As Christ's followers were together praying and worshiping, God the Holy Spirit baptized them with power. And that Holy Spirit, can I just say this, has not been taken away. There are certain churches where I've preached down through the years, and I'm sure it's true of our vicars as well. You wonder whether they would have noticed if the Holy Spirit had been taken away. But we know that there is burning in the hearts of our leaders and in many of our congregation here in St. Mary's, there is this deep desire to see God, the Holy Spirit, manifesting himself in power as we meet together. What was God, the Holy Spirit, doing? He was fulfilling this promise. God in us. God with us. God for us. God in us. The divine life dwelling within us. I remember being invited by a church in South Wales to do a series of Bible studies, and they asked me to preach on the two epistles of Peter over a few weeks. And I remember being stopped in my tracks when Peter makes clear in these words, we are sharers in the divine nature. And it really did stop me. Words I suppose I'd read dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but on this occasion I thought, God in me, occupying me, because his Son had paid the price of my sin, had reconciled me to God, and now I possessed the third person of the Trinity. Do you remember Jesus arriving at the River Jordan and requiring his cousin John to baptize him? John later testified that having done this, he saw the Holy Spirit as a dove descending on Jesus. That was Jesus being anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit by the purpose of his Father. We're told when he came out of the water, I'm saying this as a Baptist minister, when he came out of the water, the Spirit of God descended on him. That's what God intends should happen to every one of us who claim to know the Lord Jesus, who are saved, washed in his blood, cleansed from our sin, then filled with a person, the third person of the Trinity. As the Father, this is my beloved Son. There was the Son submitting to his Father's will, and here was the Holy Spirit anointing him, the Trinity together in that event. That event, as Scripture makes clear, ushered in what? The days we are now living in. These are the last days. The final act of God will be when Jesus returns. And I want to say he can come at any time. And the only question I have to ask myself day after day, particularly at the close of a day, as I do, what if Jesus had come today? Would I have been ready? Would my heart have been right with him? Or would I be conscience-stricken because of something I'd said or done or thought? Jesus promised that he would be with us through the Holy Spirit. And now, as we've said, listen, our commission, we are partakers in the divine nature. If you know and love the Lord, I'm not talking to some perhaps who've never known what it is to confess their sin and be washed in the blood of Jesus. He's ready for you to do that where you're sitting. But I am partaking in the divine nature. It's the work of God's Spirit that he wants to do in me continually. The Spirit of God keeps me, keeps you from corrupting your lives in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. A new life that was achieved for you through the blood of Jesus. Let's see this in action, shall we? I'll give you an example of something you know very well. Peter is one of the disciples sitting with Jesus at the Last Supper. And during that meal, or during Jesus' teaching, Peter says, Lord, I'll stay with you whatever happens to you. You've said that you're going to be killed. I'm going to be with you. I'm ready to be killed with you. And Jesus said, will you really, Peter? You're going to have a shock. And then a few hours later, Peter has followed Jesus at a distance. He doesn't want to be identified with him. Have you experienced that in your life? Not wanting to be identified with your Savior? And a servant girl, a little young girl, says to Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? And he said, me? I don't know him. Don't associate me with him. The man who a few hours before was saying, I'll go with you to death, Lord. As I said, then came the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And Peter's reconciliation, when for 40 days, Jesus gave clear evidence of being alive, a Savior in their midst. Then came his ascension, but even that needs something further to make Peter the man of God that he claimed to be. Only a few weeks later, Peter has been transformed. The Peter who claimed not even to know who Jesus was. The promised Holy Spirit has descended on Jesus' immediate followers as they wait together in prayer and worship. Then out they go into the streets of Jerusalem. And Peter, now totally fearless, is confronting hundreds. Listen to these words. This is Peter who said, him, I don't even know him. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. And in that crowd, there would have been the Jewish leaders. The Jewish executive later hauled Peter before them. These are the men that can get him put to death as well. And he's addressing these intellectuals, these politicians, who demanded the crucifixion of Jesus, and who would go on to persecute the disciples of Jesus. And Peter, the man who refused to identify himself with Jesus to a young girl, says this. This is the scripture, listen. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, rulers of the people, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, that I stand here. Where's the fear of the serving girl, a timid and frightened man? He says, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Surely, he could now sing with the hymnist, all my hope on God is founded. He shall still my strength renew. The strength you are seeing in me is of God, filled as I am with the Holy Spirit. He's ready to speak and to use me. And that applies to us today. Whenever I ask for his filling, and I've suddenly thought, I jotted these words down during the course of the week. He's available whenever I choose to turn to him. Isn't that disgraceful? Whenever I choose to turn to him, might, Lord, forgive me if I'm not consciously aware of your nearness. And your life, your resurrection life within me. The guarantee of eternal life within me. Let me make this point. The Holy Spirit poured out on God's people, as I've said, has not been taken away, and longs to continue empowering every one of us here this morning. Do you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Those of us who live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and the only way we need to respond is by seeking his presence, his authority, his power day after day. Do you pray, Lord, help me today to live in the way that Jesus claims I should live, the way that the Holy Spirit has made it possible for me to live? Lord, let me be bold in my living. Not audacious, not overconfident, but relying totally on God. Paul in Colossians 24 describes what has happened to you if the Holy Spirit has filled you. He puts it like this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that your daily hope? At the end of every day, do you say, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for enabling me to live without shame in your name when challenged to do so. One vital step. May Jesus made this promise conditional on his word feeding us. Oh, yes. I know some of you will expect me to come back to this theme that I spoke about from this place a few weeks ago. Familiar with the living Word of God, my daily food, the Word on which I totally depend, so that, promise of Jesus, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That, said Jesus, was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for that? Whatever circumstance, whatever confrontation, whatever situation you feel, you are sufficient that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That is the Spirit of God. Are you ready for that? Why do I give priority to Scripture so often? When Jesus said, when he is come, He will take of the things of mine. His teaching, his instruction, his in guidance, not only to make them clear and plain, but to make them powerful. If they're available to you, I was telling a group of young people some years ago, the vital importance of having the Word of God living in your mind day after day as you feed on it. It's your daily food. You remember my mother giving me a Bible as the family sat around the evening meal the night before I went off to university. And my mother leant across the table and said, Clement. No, I was never Clem to my mother, of course. I was Clement. And she passed the Bible across to me and said, Clement, this is more important to you than your daily food. Eat it daily. Sadly, I didn't always follow my mother's instructions. Well, it's because these, if I abide in him through his word and he makes his word clear and plain, there are God's directions for my living. But because I'm sharing the divine nature, he gives me the enabling to live for him as he wants. The power of the Holy Spirit available to me. But Jesus also said, when the Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And there are times, uncomfortable though they may be, when we are servants of his in conveying that message, sin and righteousness and judgment that have all been gathered together in the life of Jesus within me, so that they will hear the message of God, because the word of God is here. Consequently, as we followers of Christ, when we witness, we are to be aware of the awful consequences of refusing God's offer of salvation. The opening of the first chapter of Hebrews and the opening of the second chapter of Hebrews read like this: as you testify to someone, as God the Holy Spirit gives you power to do it, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to you and me. God has spoken to us. Don't be ashamed. Don't be too modest for that. He's spoken to you if you're filling your mind with his word day after day. In these last times, yes, we are living in the last times, he has spoken to us. Consequently, said the second chapter, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And what is the equipment that God gives us to confront men with the perilous situation in which the godless find themselves? He's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are we neglecting it? Read Ephesians about the Christian armor. And the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Are you sensitive? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to speak to you? Malcolm has asked, if you watched the wedding yesterday, yes, I watched it. And I was so taken with that marriage service that I watched it again later in the day. And as I watched it the second time, the Lord suddenly said to me, pray for those two young people. There was a moment in which I caught a glimpse of both their faces, and the Holy Spirit said, they need Jesus. And I've committed myself to praying for them. Do you remember, I'll finish with this, something we were looking at a few weeks ago. That's the account of Easter Day, And Jesus meeting those two followers of his who don't recognize him on their way home in despair and disillusionment and darkness and sorrow. And Jesus opened the scriptures to them and showed them the wonder of God's provision for them. Do you remember what they confessed? Did not our hearts burn within us? What made their hearts burn? It was Jesus opening up the scriptures and making God's purposes for their lives clear and offering them salvation and the prospect of eternal life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.